We're so thankful you decided to join Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're in the studio with Janelle and Miss Tara and myself, Sandy. And last time, if you tuned in, we kind of had to quickly end our discussion because we were so into it that we weren't watching the time, which would be me. And it was just a great one on encouragement and how it can bring condemnation, but it also could bring conviction. So with that being said, we're going to continue on in Mark 10, 46 through 52 with the story of the blind man, Bartimaeus.
Yeah, and I'll try to connect the thoughts because it was pretty funny. We were all dumbfounded when we realized we were over time. So we were discussing the fact that depending on the person's heart condition will determine how they respond to what's being said to them. And in this particular situation with blind Bartimaeus, his heart recognized that Jesus was the person he needed to go to. And so it didn't matter that the people were rebuking him. And so he went ahead and did his pursuit. So in order to help those that haven't heard the passage, let's go through in Mark 10, and it's verses 46 through 52. So Jesus was leaving Jericho, and he had a crowd with him, a large crowd of people and his disciples. And there was a blind man, Bartimaeus, sitting on the side of the road. He's the son of Timaeus. And as he heard that Jesus was coming by, he cried out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Well, many of the people went up to him and tried to quiet him. They rebuked him. And that didn't stop him. He cried out all the more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Well, at hearing him, Jesus stopped and he said, "Call him." And the people said, "Take courage. Get up. He's calling you." And immediately Bartimaeus threw off his cloak and he went to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and asked him, "What is it that you want?" And Bartimaeus said, "I want my sight." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Go on your way, for your faith has made you well." And immediately Bartimaeus was healed and he began to follow Jesus. May God honor the telling of his word. I love this passage. I think every time I go through this story, I'm just blessed by it. And there's so much in it. And last time, Janelle had shared that through a chapel where Terry Johnson, one of our professors at Grace and our director for our servant leader training program, got up and he actually did a foot washing of a student named Ramon and said, "It's not that you're washing feet, it's that you have the heart of being a foot washer." And that's really what this passage is all about, for Jesus to get the disciples to understand. He is trying to get them to get it in their heart. And so last time we looked at Bartimaeus and how Bartimaeus, with the things that we learned from him, we learned that he was determined, he was passionate, he wasn't stopped by the people. It didn't matter that people were rebuking him. He still pursued Jesus. I want us now to think, doesn't say a whole lot about the disciples, but I would like for us to do some speculating. Let's just make some assumptions. If we were the disciples there, how would we have been responding? Now, I want you to keep in mind, they have just been told that they are called to be servants, be suffering servants. And they had just had two of them ask if they could be at the right and the left. And, you know, Jesus corrects them and is like, that's not how it is for those who are in the kingdom. So this is in their mind. And they're in this crowd walking with Jesus on their way to Jerusalem for Passover, going through Jericho. And then this situation happens with blind Bartimaeus. If you were the disciple there, what were your thoughts would have been? What would you have been thinking? Or how would you have reacted? What would your response have been? Or did I just totally stump you both?
Well, I was just thinking about, you know, how he had just talked to them about, you know, that they're to serve. So if it sunk in, they're to serve, they would want to serve this blind man mm-hmm. in every capacity he needed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm. How about you, Janelle?
Well, I was thinking, I was looking at it to make sure, but it says many rebuked him. So unless my translation is just different, it doesn't say that those many were the disciples.
We don't know who they are.
Yeah. And so it's possible that they were, I mean, I don't know, if it were me, I'd probably just be watching Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this person who's desperate and crying out to him. Be like, what is he going to do? Mm-hmm. Is he going to answer that call? Is he going to serve as he said that he would? And yeah, then the question that Jesus asks, what do you want me to do for you, is the same question that he asked the brothers mm-hmm. when they asked to sit on his right and his left. It's the same attitude of service of, what can I do for you? And so they see that consistently in him.
I was going to say they've seen it over and over and over mm-hmm. from Jesus. That he stops.
Right.
And he serves.
Right. My mind automatically makes the assumption that it's the crowd, and this is me just making an assumption, it's the crowd that does the rebuke, and then it's the disciples that go and get him. Mm. But Scripture doesn't say that either. Yeah. Scripture does not say it's the disciples. It says, so they. So we're just going to assume it's still people that are in the crowd, because it doesn't tell us specifically that it is the disciples. But oftentimes when this story, this passage of narrative of Scripture is depicted, they will depict it as if it's the disciples, as if they're the ones that are actually going and getting Bartimaeus. But the word doesn't tell us.
Yeah, and mine says, like, Jesus stopped and said, call him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's telling somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
To call him. He's not just saying,
right,
come.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, you know, I just want us to be thinking about what their hearts would have been doing. Now, as for the crowd, we discussed the crowd last time. We know that there are going to be people. There are people that almost are in a parade mentality. You know how when we go to a parade, we line up on the streets and we watch the people go by. That is really, honestly, and truly what is happening, is the people have lined the streets to watch the parade of people making their pilgrimage into Jerusalem. And so the crowd is an observation. And in that crowd, we are guaranteed you're going to have the hostile towards Jesus, and you're going to have those that are wanting to receive him. So the crowds, that's how it affects it. All right, I want us to then think on Jesus. You both have been talking about many things about him, but let's be specific. What do we learn about Jesus because of this passage? What can you tell me you learn about him because of this passage?
He's always compassionate. He's compassionate here for the man.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
He's personal. Mm-hmm. He cares for him specifically. He says, call him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. Very specific. I was astounded by the fact that in the press of the crowd, once again, he focuses in on one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And knowing the fact that Jesus is in pursuit of Jerusalem, he knows why he is going to this Passover. He knows he is the sacrificial lamb.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, he stopped.
It is personal.
It is
just
so
like the
personal.
One that reached out and grabbed his robe,
yeah,
to be healed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And so that, for me, is the big thing. But the other thing that I wanted us to catch is that Jesus met Bartimaeus where he was at.
Right. I was going to say, and he immediately was healed because Bartimaeus opened his heart to him
mm-hmm.
and knew who he was.
The faith, complete
the
faith.
And that's right. Why Jesus said, your faith has healed you.
Completely. I love that he met him right where he was at. It wasn't, oh, Bartimaeus, you get up and you get cleaned up, or Bartimaeus, you don't have your cloak on, or, you know what I mean? It was, he met Bartimaeus exactly at the point of his need. And so often I think we feel like we have to do cleanup. And there's no cleanup needed. Jesus has got it covered. We don't have to fix ourselves. You got something, Sandy?
Well, I was just thinking when you said that, you know, the cloak.
Mm-hmm.
So in those days it was customary, I'm assuming, to have their cloak on.
In particular, for Bartimaeus, the theologians say that that would have been his only form of protection.
Okay, because it says he threw his cloak aside.
Right.
Because he was in a hurry to get to Jesus.
It would have been what he would have laid on the ground to collect the money.
Okay.
But it would also been what he would have had to use to protect him from the sun, from the rain, from the cold, from the heat. I mean, that would have been his only form of protection as a beggar. And the fact that he threw it off.
He threw that protection off so he could have the protection of Jesus.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly.
And
left
that.
It behind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you think of, this is what collected his money. It was his, and in a way, it was almost as if he was throwing away his tool for his trade as a beggar.
So actually is relying on Jesus like we need to. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good. I never thought about it that way at all.
Okay, so I want us to think, or if we're talking about the hindrances, then I'm going to give us some scriptures that I want us to read. Janelle, would you go to Philippians 3, 7 through 9 and read that for us? And Sandy, I'm going to have you do Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. And what I want us to examine is how these scriptures show us the spiritual side of the picture of what Bartimaeus did, because it's a visual that he did, but there's actually, we have truths that show us that we should be doing it. So do you have Philippians 3, 7 through 9?
Yep.
Go ahead.
But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith.
Okay. Let's examine that, and let's just sit here for a moment. What does he consider a loss?
Everything.
Mm-hmm. Everything. Everything. I mean, not just one thing, but everything he considers a loss. And what does he consider the greatest of value?
Knowing Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. What are things that we can do to know Jesus? Practically, this is the easy answer. We say this all the time.
Yeah. Reading our Bible and praying.
I'm thinking also, you know, talking to Jesus personally. That personal relationship is how we get to know him.
Yeah. I have a situation where I'm mentoring somebody, and the knowledge is there. The knowledge of the Word of God is there, but yet this struggle still happens because not willing to count it all loss. Mm-hmm. Still holding on to that which is of this earth.
Temporary.
Mm-hmm. And not willing to say, okay, I'm going to go the step further and not just know him as in knowledge, as in what they call gnosko, which is information, but allowing it to become a part of the heart. Mm-hmm. And this can only happen through complete surrender. Mm-hmm. It can only happen. And the visual of Bartimaeus throwing off the cloak is what needs to happen. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then, Sandy, I want you to read your passage.
Remind me where it is. I'm in Hebrews.
Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. You were close.
I was close, yeah, right.
I really love this passage.
1 through 3.
It has always ministered to me so much.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I so love it.
I love that.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and read verse 4. In struggling against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. This is like profound. When I, at some point in my young 20s, I had a dream. And I tried to write it out, and I don't even know that I could put it down in the way that the dream happened, because the dream was just so, so intense. But it was me, and I had like you know, one of those movie scenes in, or like in Singing in the Rain, when they have the great big fan blowing and the women have the great big ribbon robes, you know, draped around them that are all these flowing different colors. Well, I had all of these wraps of fabric that were thin, but together layered all around me, and the wind is blowing at me, and they're just blowing all over the place, and they're flapping. And in my dream, I knew, and I know it was because I was studying about this at this time, each one represented my sin. Mm-hmm. And that as I'm trying to run, the wind is pressing against me, the resistance of getting to the Lord. I couldn't move because things were in the way. And I just started pulling on the ends, and I'm trying as I'm running, I'm ripping off the fabric to get it off. And as I get one off, another one would tangle, and just trying to pull the layers. Mm. And eventually I got down to where they were all white, gray, or black. I got down to where the last one was red, and I knew that it was representing that Jesus was taking it, that it was the blood, and it was the last one, and it came off. And then all of a sudden I was able to just run with freedom. It was a great visual for me of what this depicts. I think we could make a really beautiful video, you know, if we had the equipment of the scene and that I still have in my head.
How it entangles us.
Mm-hmm. It does. And we can have layers of that entangling and have parts of it come off, but we still have many parts that are still wrapped up that we need to get through. And whatever it is that may be holding us back, the hindrances, we have got to do the fight on our part to pull those layers off. We have to fight it. And so if that means I have to work extra hard as the wind is pressing against me to stretch and move and go to places to untangle the mess of my life, I need to go there. And I think it's easy for us when it gets hard to let go, to not let go.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm hoping that by reading these two and seeing the spiritual side of shedding things, that like Bartimaeus, we see it's as simple as just dropping the cloak.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard. We make it hard.
Mm-hmm.
The work isn't easy, but it's worth it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because I think when you first come to Jesus, it's easy. You know, you just drop and ask him into your heart. But
right.
As the world gets to you and whatever, it does. It's hard. The walk is hard.
It is.
It's well worth it, but it's hard.
I say this often. I don't know. I think it's more to myself than anything, but it's also as I'm mentoring as well. Returning to holiness, especially if you've been a solid believer and then messed up, returning to holiness is hard.
Mm-hmm.
It is a hard process in that. We have to work through it. When we are willing to shed it, like Bartimaeus, we will clearly get to Jesus, and Jesus will ask us what we want.
Mm-hmm.
And he is not going to hold back. He is benevolent. He is kind. He is gracious. He's not going to hinder giving us that which we need for his glory.
Right.
The key is for his glory.
Yeah.
It's not for our glorification, our satisfaction. Mm-hmm. And so I want you to come back next week because I have a really great story that I want to tell that gives a beautiful example of this that I found in Adams Clark commentary that was just profound. And I thought, it's a beautiful example almost of a modern day from the 1700s example of a Bartimaeus life experience. We're glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. You can contact us at tararye.com, cultivatinghearts.org, or opendoormission.org. God bless.